I think the awfulest tragedy in the world, I think Hollywood ought to make a movie out of it, their chicken, would be for somebody to all their life be in a religion or go to church or something all their life and then die and wake up in hell, fully expecting to go to heaven when they die. You talk about a terrible movie. You talk about something scary. That would be awful. If Hollywood would do that and use their talent and all the thing that they have to promote that idea, we could possibly have national revival if people would get a hold of that. You think of all your life thinking, I'm all right, I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, and then wake up in hell and you're not saved. Well, I can tell you for absolute positively sure how you can know you're not going to heaven if you'll listen to me this morning. Quickly, very, very quickly. You'll listen very quickly. And I'll preach quickly if you'll do that. Amen? You like that little, y'all behave, be real quiet still. Or like that one kid, teacher asked the kids, said, all right, boys and girls, how come we must be quiet in church? And one little boy said, because people are sleeping, we don't want to disturb them. We don't want you that quiet. Don't get that quiet. Just listen intently. If I see you asleep, I'll come back there and hop in your lap and hug your neck. All right? Seven ways I'm going to talk this morning about how you can know that you are not going to heaven. The first way this morning, this is very fundamental, elementary to some of you folks, but I want to drive a point home here so y'all labor with me this morning, is to believe that because you are a church member, that guarantees you a spot in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a widespread belief. You'd be surprised. I know we don't believe that here because y'all are exposed to Bible preaching, fundamental Bible preaching, all the time. You would be shocked at the people in this county who really believe, I've been a member of that church all my life. I was raised a Methodist. I was brought up Presbyterian. My family was Lutheran. I'm an Episcopalian. I'm a Baptist. And that automatically I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to say that guarantees you a spot in hell if that's what you're trusting in. There is nowhere in the Bible, there's nowhere in the Bible where it even talks about a church, local, physical membership of a church. It does not make you ready to go to heaven. I mean, just because you sit in a bakery don't make you a donut. Just because you sit in a garage, you might look like one after a while. Just because you sit in a garage don't make you a car. And just because you go to church does not mean that you are a Christian and going to heaven when you die. Now, I was in Sunday school this morning. I said, what if I come up this morning and I said, Jeremy, are you married? And he said, well, I've been going to Baptist church all my life. I said, what? I said, are you married? And he said, yeah, I'm Baptist. I said, wait a minute. Read my lips. Married. Are you married? Do you have a wife? He'd say, I was raised Baptist. Well, you think he's crazy. You think the man's lost his mind. That boy's retarded. What in the world is wrong? He can't even understand the question. That's right. He don't understand the question. Being married has nothing to do with being a Baptist. Being saved has nothing to do with being a Baptist. Can I get a witness? I mean, that's so simple that you'd be surprised. You wouldn't be shocked if you thought the people... What if I said, Jeremy, are you married? And he said, well, I'm doing the absolute best I can do. There are some of you that are doing that right now. But the fact is, you're still either... You either is, you ain't. I mean, one man said one time, I said, are you married? And he said, last I heard I was. That's sad, isn't it? He's separated. Anyway, hadn't come through yet or something. Listen, what if I ask you, are you married? And you said, yeah, I was baptized when I was 8 years old. Well, you people think you're crazy. And when I say, are you saved? It does not have one thing to do with your church membership. I am not saved because I am a Baptist. I am a Baptist because I believe that the Baptist church teaches the Bible closer than any other denominational group. Do you understand that? When I was 18 years old, I got down on my knees, on my face actually, at Nebo Baptist Church. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. He came into my heart right then and saved me. And I'm going to heaven because of what He did for me that day. Now you've got to get that through your head. It has nothing to do with belonging to a church. Absolutely nothing whatsoever. Judas was right with it. Did you know some of the meanest crooks in the world go to church? Did you know that Hitler was a Catholic? Did you know that Jimmy Carter is a Baptist? Did you know that Hillary is a Baptist? Do you know that going to church does not make a person a Christian. You know who goes to church every Sunday? The devil. He's not going to heaven. He's always at church. He never misses. He's faithful, more faithful than anybody, but he is not going to heaven. You say, well, Brother Danny, I go to church every single Sunday. That's wonderful. You should. But it does not guarantee you a spot in heaven. If somebody walked in that door this morning, said, Danny Castle, you going to heaven when you die? I'd say, yes, I am. And they'd say, how do you know? I wouldn't think, well, I've been going to church since I was 18 years old. That has nothing to do with it. I got saved. I was born again. The Lord said, you must be born again. Amen? You must be born again. You'd be surprised how confused people are. How confused people are about the matter of salvation. You'd be surprised. People are really blonde when it comes to this thing of being saved. I'm telling you, they're some of the dumbest people. Been to school 20 years, got college, and still don't know straight up, like Mom said, about the Bible. Like that girl that said this blonde came in a place one time. She walked in, and she said, I'd like a cheeseburger and French fries. And the lady said, shh, ma'am, this is a public library. And she said, oh, I'd like a cheeseburger. That's how stupid something. And for all you that didn't like that show, how really, really, you're so dumb you can't even get the blonde jokes, you're dumber than a dumb blonde. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, that shows how people are when it comes to God and the Bible. You going to heaven when you die? Well, I try to treat people right. That's got nothing to do with it. That's got nothing to do with whether you're going to heaven when you leave this world. Amen? Amen. You'd be surprised. People think all kind of weird things. Like that fellow said, he ran up on me and said there was a dead duck laying in the highway. And said, oh my goodness, what happened? One of the kids said, somebody hit him, he died and went to heaven. And the kid looked up and said, well, what happened? Did God throw him back down here? That's the way people think about them. Ducks don't go to heaven. And if they did, it'd just be their soul. You'd be surprised. You would be shocked in this enlightened, educated day how dumb people are about fundamental Bible truth. You really, really would. I remember when I first started preaching years ago, and you've heard me say this, when I first started preaching, I was only 19. And I preached, and I didn't know nothing. I read the Bible, and I'd read something in the Bible and jump up and preach it. Screaming and hollering, what Jack Hyle said. Scream and holler, read and holler, read and holler, read something, holler, read something, holler. And that's about all I did. But I remember my girls, when they were little, especially when Carrie was first little, before the other two got here, well, I was telling Bible stories. And I would tell her Bible stories, and I remember I would get into it. I still do that. I can still tell Bible stories in the Bible, and I wanted the Bible to be alive to my kids. I wanted my kids to think the Bible is the most exciting book in the whole world. I didn't want my kids to think the Bible was boring. And so she'd say, Daddy, tell me a story. She's about 5 years old, and so I'd put her in her bed like this. She'd lay in the bed like that, and I'd say, all right, you got to cover up. They always say, I'm not sleepy. And I'd say, you don't have to go to sleep. You got to go to bed. And they'd always say, but Daddy, I'm not sleepy. I said, I didn't say you had to go to sleep. I said, you got to go to bed. And they said, but I can't go to sleep. I said, I didn't say you had to go to sleep. You deaf? Go into bed. Get into bed. And they'd say, but I'm not sleeping. Makes no difference. And they said, well, I can't sleep. And I said, you close your eyes and pray for everybody you know, and before you get through, you'll be asleep. And that'll work. Do it on your kid. I mean, you'll help mama, help daddy. They're really sleepy. They just don't want to. They don't understand. You know, they don't know themselves enough. And but anyway, she laid down and she said, "Daddy, tell me a Bible story." And I said, "All right." And buddy, I would get into it. And he was in her bedroom now. And I thought that to be a preacher, you had to preach great big truths that nobody understood, and you had to have a whole bunch of Greek and Hebrew, and you had to get these great Bible outlines and just blow everybody's mind with how smart you are. Well, I started telling her Bible story. And I got in there and she said, "Daddy, what happened?" And I got in there and I tell her, I said, "Now there was this boy. And this boy lived way up in the mountains. And he kept sheep every day." "Shut up, stupid sheep." And the sheep goes, "Get over here." And I said, "And down here one day, there's this big old army. And over here on this hill, there's a big old army. It's over here on the side of your dresser here, honey. Bunches of people standing here. And they're the Philistines. Lord, they're mean. They're ugly. They're awful. They're ungodly. They're wicked. Ooh, they're horrible looking." And boy, I had her all. And I'd say, "Who is that?" She said, "Philistine." I said, "They're mean. They're wicked. They're ungodly. Ooh, their teeth are ugly. They got blood coming out of their mouth. They're mean. I mean, they all look like they got stuff to murder you in their hands. They're wicked." And I said, "Over here on this side, there's another hill. And God's people was over here on this side. And the Israelites were over here. And over there was the Philistine. And over here was God's people. And over there was the Philistine. And over here was God's people." And I said, "They was having a war. And they was all scared." And I said, all of a sudden, this big man, he was taller than everybody else. He was 9.5 feet tall, at least. And he came out, and he had a big old sword. I mean, a big old sword. Looked like a guitar. And but I tell you, he took this big old sword and he come out there and he cussed and say, "Hey, bunch of chicken, come on here and fight me." Boy, I'm telling you, her eyes would be that big around. And boy, I'd be out there and I'd be Goliath out there and I'd stomp out there in the middle and I'd say, "Come on, you bunch of chicken, you blankety blank that it blank blank that it blank blank blank." And they said, "We know you've been watching MTV, ain't you?" And he said, "Yeah, sure have. You don't like it? That's my favorite channel." And they said, "Man, what's wrong with you?" And he got up there and he said, "Send me somebody out here." "Ah! Hit him like this, no, hit him like that, no, hit him like this, no, hit him like that." "Hey, I send him out here." And boy, she was laying there. And the more she got into it, the more I got into it. Next thing I know, boy, here come the Philistines. And then Goliath would go, "Come on!" And all the Philistines go, "Oh, yeah." They were all screaming and hollering. And over here, and all of a sudden, you heard something over here going. And it was the other guy's knees knocking. They were all scared and actually. And they were God's people. And they were scared to give out a track. They were scared somebody might laugh at them. They were scared to death of that big giant out there in this world. Chicken. Like most of God's people are today. About that time. Somebody come walking down through the weeds. Only a boy named David. Only a little brook. Only a boy named David. And 5 little stones he took. Only a boy named David. Only a little sling. Only a boy named David. But he could shout and sing. And 1 little stone went in the sling and the sling went around and around. You know that song? Top 10 on the kids' gospel chart, y'all. That waste your time doing other things. And anyway, I said, "Here he come down. And here come David." And David jumps up there and he said, "What in the world's going on here?" And Saul and all of them said, "Shh, quiet, quiet." That's the first thing the devil wants us to do is be quiet. Say amen right there. Boy, I'll tell you what, David stood up there and he said, "Saul," he said, "some who in..." About that time, Goliath let out a string of cuss words and he had his band behind him and they was all going, and you could hear that bass coming all the way across that big field. And they said, "God, looks like he turned that down. Looks like he'd bust their eardrums. The demons come in through that bass. And demon spirits come in through that bass and that beat. What that stuff does. And those spirits started working. And Goliath, his eyes started getting real wide. They started looking like them lights right there. His head might have spun around a time or two. I don't know. But anyway, boy, he got full of the devil. And he looked at me and said, "Fire! Fire! Lord have mercy. Lord, I'm very old sweat, nasty hair down here like that. Anyway, that's not what I'm preaching on this point. But anyway, I got into that story, boy, and I tell you, and about that time, old David reached down there and he got one of them rocks, and the Holy Ghost got in that rock. And when he did, he put it in his sling, and he said, all right, I'm going to go take care of this guy. And they said, now listen, you cannot fight. You're too little and too young. He said, I'm going to tell you guys something. He said, I was out there the other day keeping my daddy's sheep, and there's a bear come up after my daddy's sheep. And he said, the Holy Ghost come on me. He said, I popped him in the face. I kicked him in the chin. He said, I knocked him down off in the water. And he said, the next day a lion came down. And this lion came down. I grabbed him by the jaws and by the beard. I jujitsu picked up. I popped him in the goozle. And buddy, I tell you what, I popped him in the two eyeballs. And I said, the same God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear shall deliver me out of the paw of this uncircumcised Philistine who has defied the armies of the living God. Carrie's laying there going, I was up on the dresser. I was up on the coffee thing, you know, a little nightstand. I was in between. I was screaming just like I am right now, buddy. I mean, I was into it. Buddy, I'll tell you what. You know the story? He comes out to the giant. The giant says, that's the best you can do. Boy, what's wrong with you? Hey, Saul, get that punk out of here before I hurt him. David come walking out. Ain't even got no sword. Don't even have a helmet. Required by law to wear a helmet fighting that war. No seat belt, nothing. He said, I hope your wife's got a good insurance policy on you, son, because I'm going to put you to bed right now. And boy, he said, Lord, they'll cut my legs off and call me shorty. That boy mean business. And old Goliath, he sort of let down his guard there a little bit. And old Goliath sort of took it for granted a little bit. And about that time, God, the Holy Ghost, got in that little rock. And David slung that thing, buddy. And that rock come flying across through there. Listen, buddy, you'd be safer in front of a 747 than in front of a rock that God, the Holy Ghost, was in aiming for your head. And buddy, that rock hit him smack dab right there in between the eyeballs. Smack dab is a Greek word that uneducated hillbillies like y'all don't know. It means in the midst of his eyes. And it hit him right there like that. And he wobbled there a time or two and went down like that. And old David said, prepare to meet God. Bigger they are, the harder they fall. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And old Goliath started going this way and this way and this way. Bam! He runs over, takes his own sword away from him, grabs it like this, and boy, he goes, look at it, he goes, wham, like Gene Simmons and all them guys and like Marilyn Manson, and he goes bam, and he cuts his head off and he holds that old bloody head up like this and said, what do you think about that, boys? Hallelujah! And they shouted the victory. So said that to say this, I win. Started preaching in churches all around up there in Marion, Morgan, and places like that. That's the first time. I didn't know what to preach. I didn't know how to preach. I'd never been to Bible school. So one night, I just got up and told the whole church Bible story, just like I told you. And all the grown people come and said, that's the best preaching I've heard in my life. And I learned something right there. I learned that most preachers are trained to preach to other preachers. And if a preacher wants people to get it, you keep it on about a 7-year-old level. And the adults can get a hold. That's sad. That's a bad thing to say about y'all, but it's the truth. 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 We're ignorant of what the Bible says. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Have you done that? Has there been a time when you trusted Him? Has there been a time in your life when you come and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry, Lord, right now, I want to be saved. Dear God, save me. Dear, I mean, has that ever happened to you? You'll miss heaven by just doing the best you can. Hear about the other day. Guy had 2 Super Bowl tickets. Paid several $1,000s apiece for them. His dog ate them. Dog ate 2 Super Bowl tickets. That would be 1 dead dog, brother. And I don't know how what they ever did, whether he got to go or what, but it's on TV. It's a dog ate man's Super Bowl tickets. That dog probably thought he was doing the best he could. He really did, but he wasn't good enough. He was completely wrong. What I'm saying is, just because a person's sincere
does not mean that it'll turn out right.
You would be shocked if you knew the educated people in Burke County who think, as long as you sincerely believe, it doesn't matter what it is, that you'll be all right when you die. You'd be shocked if you knew the answer to that. You would be shocked. I'll say a couple things and I'm done. Keeping the Ten Commandments won't save you. For one thing, you're not keeping them. Ain't nobody in here keeping the Ten Commandments. Not a one of them. You're trying. I'm trying. We could go down the list. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You mean that there's never been a time when you didn't put something ahead of the Lord? Yes, they sure have. They sure have. Thou shalt not steal. You ever stole anything? I mean, how many times you steal something to make you thief? You say, I never stole nothing, preacher. Hadn't you ever acted like you was working when the boss person walked in? And you're really just doing nothing? So I said, here come the boss. Then you acted like, well, that's a lie, you know. We've all done that. Listen. Hey, come on now, don't get quiet on me. I'll tell you when it's time to pray. Don't bow your head yet. And you got an answer from somebody at school and said, hey, what's the answer to this? That's stealing. You say, I ain't never committed adultery. You ever lusted after somebody you ain't supposed to lust after? Yeah, you committed adultery. You say, I ain't never killed nobody. Jesus said, if you hate in your heart, you're a murderer. You ever had hate in your heart? Yes, you have. If you're depending on the Ten Commandments to take you to heaven, you better get on the ball, buddy. It ain't going to happen. You need the Lord this morning. I'll say one thing and I'm done. You know why people ain't going to heaven? They get all this I'm saying, but they want to put it off to some later date down the road somewhere. Down the road. Let me advise you not to do that. If you're here this morning and you don't even feel goosebumps or you don't feel nothing special, but down in your heart, you know I'm telling the truth. Let me encourage you, step out by faith and come to Jesus and settle it once and for all. It don't matter how you feel. Don't wait on a feeling. October the 8th, 1871. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived. His name was D.L. Moody. He preached in Chicago that night. And he preached on the subject, what shall I do with Jesus? And Ira Sankey was his song leader. Sung one for years and years and years. And Ira Sankey got up that night and sang. And the words of the song was, today the Savior calls. Justice is fallen. Death is nigh. And before Ira Sankey got through with that song, they had to stop the meeting for the fire truck bells were ringing. And that was the night of the Great Chicago Fire. You heard of the Great Chicago Fire? The whole city almost burned down. Everything was so dry. That thing jumped the river, brother. That thing jumped that river up there and got into Chicago and almost burned the entire city. Well, D.L. Moody preached that night. And he said, what shall I do with Jesus? And hundreds of people walked out of there. And some of them died that night. You know what their problem was? They thought, I'm going to get right with the Lord, but not today. Not today. Not today. You don't ever know. I heard about a girl who wouldn't get saved. She was just a young girl, and her mama kept saying, honey, I want you to get saved. She said, mama, I am not ready. Will you leave me alone? About a month later, she said, honey, I really want you to get saved. She said, mama, I am not ready. Will you quit bugging me about it? So she told the preacher, she said, will you please talk to my daughter? Every time I talk to her about getting saved, all she can say is, leave me alone. I'm not ready for that stuff. So the preacher went and talked to this girl. He said, I understand you don't like it, people bugging you about getting saved. She said, that's right. I wish they'd just leave me alone. He said, okay. He said, I'm going to talk to your mom, and we're going to leave you alone. We're not going to mention this stuff about being saved for 1 year. Is that all right with you? And she thought, no. Something might happen. I could die. He said, that's right. Okay, he said, let's make it 6 months. 6 months. We will not speak to you for 6 months. She said, no. No, there's a risk I might die. 3 months. No. Well, obviously, you knew where that conversation's headed. She finally says, you're right. I don't know how much longer I've got. She got out of that thing. She got out of that thing. You know why? Because you don't know. And nobody in here, you say, Brother Danny, you're putting pressure on me. Yes, sir, I absolutely am. Absolutely. I heard about a man that came to the great East Shire English, great preacher of days gone by. Met him in a motel lobby. He looked up to the great preacher and he said, My brother reads your books. He's a follower of yours. He really enjoys the books you read. And his preacher looked at him and he said, well, I'm glad. Are you a Christian like your brother? He said, no, my brother's got all the religion they are in this family. And the preacher said, well, you need to get right with God and get ready to meet the Lord. He said, that's the same thing he tells me all the time. All the time. Get right, get right, get right. That's all I hear from him. He said, I might do it one of these days. And left. 9 days later, the preacher picked up the obituary column. And there was that man's name that had just told him, I might one of these days. Now, the truth is this morning, quiet in here this morning, God's speaking to hearts. We're not tearing the walls down or shouting right now. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord put this message on my heart. There's somebody here. I don't know who you are or what your problem is. You may be having your last chance to get right with God. You know how you can be sure and miss heaven? By saying, I'll do it one of these days. That guarantees you a spot in hell. Let's stand with our heads.